Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holy, 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 holy. Music. Glory to God. Yes. Tired of this crap here. Let's see. see what we got. Okay. Actually, got my stuff. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We ask you to bless the apostle and the bishop as they bring forth this word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Come on in, apostle.
I will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the prayer. Sir.
My computer went down. I just had it set up. I'm heading to the supply store, so I'm going to go on mute. Just come on in. Let the Lord use you, okay?
Amen. Okay. God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. We're so grateful once again to be here with you all, be in the presence of the Lord with you all. What a great privilege it is to be in his presence and to be blessed by the Lord. Hallelujah. We are truly blessed. As my spiritual son always says, Deacon Frazier, we are all blessed. He says it every time. He says, when he answers the phone and we ask him how he's doing, he always says, we are all blessed. And I just love that. That is so great, because we truly are all blessed. Whether we are in the Lord, not in the Lord, haven't received him yet, we're still all blessed. And the reason why I can say that is because God's grace is abounding. Where sin abounds, God's grace is abounding even more. And that's why I can say that we're all blessed, just like Deacon Frazier says, we're all blessed. We're blessed to know the Savior, and we're blessed when we don't know him, because his mercy endures forever. But we're even the more blessed when we receive him. And then we can receive of the power of the Lord, which is what we're going to be talking about, the power, living in the power of Yahweh. And so I greet you all with love. And I thank you all for being here once again today. Glory be to God. Thank you, Apostle Calendar, once again for the opportunity to be here on Block Talk Radio, reaching millions and millions of people around the world. And we are so grateful for Yahweh for allowing us to have this privilege, this opportunity to be here and to be a part of the kingdom, a part of kingdom family. Hallelujah. So we are grateful. We're going to get into the message. Bishop will join me in a minute. We're going to get into the message of living in the power of Yahweh. In order to live it, we got to know what it's all about. We have already done two times we've been here. We've done two sessions. We can say it's part of a series. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk circumspectly before God, to be able to flow in, you know, flow in those gifts that he's given us, which we talked about in the last session, those gifts, and knowing what those, knowing that there are the gifts that the Lord has given, because he has graced us with those gifts. It is not anything that we can earn or study for or earn any degrees or anything to have those gifts. Those gifts come strictly from the Holy Spirit, from our Yahweh. That's where they come from. There's nobody else that can give them to you. They're given by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we are empowered by him. We are empowered in our gifts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to talk more about that. Glory be to God. There was something that we talked about. One of the things we talked about. I was getting a busy school.
Even his phone left the computer.
Apostle? This Deacon Fraser is home. Shepherd, I shall not want. That's right.
See that piece they got in the back of that truck there?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Good.
Okay, you're in. It was Deacon Fraser line that was messing up the computer. I had to hang him up.
Yeah, actually, he said...
It was his phone.
Yeah,
I had to hang him up.
Okay, Apostle. All right, we can get back to where we were. Because we had started and it hung up. Amen. Thank you. I'm coming, Bishop. Pausing for just a moment. And as I said, we did part one and part two, and we will summarize a little bit as we go along. Apostle, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you. I had my phone on mute, but I can hear you. You're nice and clear.
Oh, great. Praise God. We're talking about the topic, living in the power of Yahweh. And power is through the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit in all of everything we do in our lives. I want to cover something that was part of what we were talking about last time. Matter of fact, we were ministering from Galatians chapter 5, and today we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10 to 13 and 14, Revelations 4 and 5, Revelation, in different scriptures. But I want to say that we talked about an expiration date, that our gifts don't expire. But I need to expound a little more, because our gifts will expire when we leave this earth. When we expire, when we cross over, given us for our living here to empower us to do what it is that we must do with our gifts and with with what it is that God will have us do for ministry. And so that will expire, because we won't need that when we cross over. We won't need that in our paradise, the new earth. We won't need that. We'll be there with Jesus Christ. But one gift that won't expire And that gift, those gifts that's been given as a result of our inheritance, that is that we are going to be, when we cross over, if our soul is alive in Christ, then we will have those gifts that he has waiting for us there. Hallelujah. So much is given, much is required here in this earth. So what the Lord has given us, we are responsible for using everything that he's given us. We're responsible for bringing other people into the kingdom. There's so much responsibility when we become one in God. And when we decide that we're going to do what God said to do, it comes with a whole lot of responsibility and a whole lot of sacrifice. Most of us know that. So I wanted to clear that up, that there is an expiration date. We talked about expiration dates on meats and foods and you know, even some even things that we buy that's, you know, your stove, your washing machine. It doesn't have an expiration date on it, but it is going to expire one day. It's just going to go out. Amen. And you're not going to be able to use it anymore. We're going to have to buy a new one. But with the Holy Spirit, the difference is with that is that the Holy Spirit will bring us to new dimensions as we grow in the Lord. It's not, our gifts won't expire in this earth. They won't expire as long as we stay under the anointing, as long as we continue to go to God for our help and understand that the power comes from God. It's not our power, it's his power. Amen. And so I wanted to clear that up because I don't want anybody to think that we believe that when we leave here, we're going to need all of those gifts, because we don't. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do what is needed to be done in the kingdom and what God wants to do with our gifts that he's given us. And also we will grow in our fruit. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit and how we're empowered by him. But we're going to talk some more about that because it's so important. We're living in the last days here. We're living in perilous, extremely perilous times. We talk about it every day with friends and people of our in our family. And I'm talking about our church family, our natural family. And we're talking about this every day. We talked about it in length, about some of the things that we're seeing that we've never seen before. Matter of fact, that storm Ian was one of the worst storms that hit the United States. It touched in so many different areas, and it has destroyed entire communities. Okay, so these are some things that we have not seen in so much of at one time. It's just so immense. That it's like, wow, God, it's just like people are just so baffled and people are so hurt and depressed and, you know, and now feeling oppressed. You know, we saw people's houses floating in the water. I don't need to talk about it that much, but we saw boats crash. The boats crashed into each other on the water. Boats flew in the air and went to another location. I mean, it's just so much. We can see the power. We see the power in that water, the power in that wind. That's God's power. That's God's power. No man can do that. No man can call a storm and call that storm and tell. They can name the storms, but they can't tell that storm what to do. Amen? That storm, that hurricane, the earthquake, and all the things that happens with the weather and whatever in this earth is controlled by God. It's not controlled by man like many people think. And so we are praying for the people. We are doing much intercessory for the people, for the nations. We are interceding for the government and all of these things. We've got to do it. The Bible tells us to pray for our dignitaries. We must do it whether we like it or not. We have to do it because God has commanded us to do it. Pray for your dignitaries. Pray for those who are in leadership positions in the church and governing, in the governing body in your state. My God, the president, you know, and all of the leaders of the church of God's kingdom, we must be praying. We must be praying for our families and our neighbors, our communities. You know, this is truly intercessory. So all of this empowers us even the more. The more we do what the Lord says to do, the more we're empowered to do it. We're empowered to do even the more. Amen. So, again, those expiration dates, we expire, but our gifts do expire in this earth. And even while we're here, the Bible says we only prophesy in part. We prophesy in part. We only see in part because only God see all and only God knows all. Hallelujah. And anything that we're doing, we're not all on our own. I know she can't come. But we're not on our own because God, we are owned by God and God is in control. Amen. And so there is the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that, and we're going to go over that again. And we expect God to work with us. We expect God's power to work through us when we are living in the power, when we know we're living in the power. And it's unfortunate with many that don't realize that. It's unfortunate that many people just don't realize the power that we have and the abilities that we have through our gifts when we allow God to move through us. When we say to God, God, just have your way, because everything in me is yours. Everything you've given me, God, use me. Use the gifts that you've given me, God. I'm willing. I'm available, Lord. And when we say to the Lord, we're available, he's going to use us, and he's given us those gifts specifically for his glory. To use us for his glory, to use those gifts that he's put in us for his glory. Amen. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you all about at first, because I didn't want anybody to think that we got to have all of this going on when we get to paradise, because we don't. But we do expect to get that gift, those gifts, that place that Jesus is preparing for us. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, when he was talking to his disciples and letting them know that it's not going to be over here. There's more to look forward to. When you expire, when you leave this place, I have a place for you. I am preparing a place for you. I have gifts for you, because we're going to be rewarded for what we're doing here for the Lord. Amen. For the glory of God, if we're actually doing it for his glory and not because we want to be looked up to, but that we're doing it for the glory of God. We got our minds in the right place. We got our minds on God, and we know if with the right mindset, we know that whatever we're doing, we're not doing it on our own power. We can't blink our eye without the power of God, without God allowing our eyes to blink. Amen. We can't see without God. We can't move ourselves without God. So everything we do is because God is allowing us to do it. And when we have that mindset, God knows. God knows when we know that it is him that's got all the power. He knows that because he knows our heart. Amen. So we're gonna go now to, first of all, I want to say this before we continue. There are several aspects to the power from God. There are several things that God will do through our gifts that he's given us. He has given us the gifts of healing, to heal the sick, some to preach God's word, to rejoice in the spirit, to give witness of Jesus and attract people to God, to give witness of salvation. Those are the things that God has that is the power. This power comes from God to do these things. But these are the aspects of it. Excuse my voice today. Excuse me. Just need to drink a little something, but in the fullness, when we experience, the Bible talks about the fullness of God, and when we experience God, we're in that. We're right in there. When we see our prayers, when we're doing intercessory and we see our prayers being answered, we know we've reached heaven. Hallelujah. We know, and then before we say prayers, we know that we can go before the throne of grace and bombard heaven. Glory be to God. And we want to see heaven, the works of the Spirit, to manifest in our lives, to manifest in the lives of other people. This is what we want to see. This is the joy we receive when we know that the work that we're doing, that God is working through us, and we see those manifestations happen. Amen. So there's so much more to this topic. And as I said, I've said before that it's tragic when we do not know what power we're working with. When we don't understand, we could never fathom in our little minds how powerful. We know it's extremely, immensely powerful what God can do, but we could not fathom in our minds the power. I mean, even when we look at that storm, we scratch our heads and we say, God, you're powerful, you're awesome. I was looking at, just to share, I was looking at the eye of the storm. It was so huge. I've never seen an eye so big since I've been, you know, paying attention to these storms. Katrina's eye was pretty big, but this one, wow, this one way bigger than Katrina's eye was. And so the weatherman was pointing out that they've never seen the lightning inside of the eye. And it actually had on YouTube, you could see the lightning going all around the eye and coming in and out of the eye. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. It's awesome to see that lightning. And, you know, when you look at it, you see that's part of the awesomeness of God. Only God can do this, and only God is in control of all of this. Please keep that in mind. Hallelujah. And we not to get angry with God because we see the devastation. We hear about all the deaths so far. It's over 100 deaths in one place, in one county, and they're still counting. But I just wanted to bring that up because these storms have been directed by God. He directs these storms. He decides where these storms are going to go and what they're going to do. I mean, some people have a hard time believing that, but when we know that God has created everything and we say all the time that God is in control, do we really know what that means? Do we really know what we're saying when we say he's in control? He's everywhere, and he decides what goes on. Hallelujah. He decides our chastisement. He decides how much we're going to do in this earth. Glory be to God. But the first thing is that we have to commit to God, submit everything to him, surrender to him, and say, now, God, hallelujah, God, I just want to be used by you. I'm willing. Please use me. And he will. He'll put you right where you need to be to be used by God. Amen. So let's get into this part three some more. We got to know how. Many seasoned people know how, what we do. God want to use us for intercession. He want to use us to, like I said, to give witness of salvation, to give witness of Jesus through the love of Jesus in us, to give witness to through what we sacrifice and give to attract people to God. Apostle and I was talking on yesterday, and, you know, he mentioned that, you know, we got to work and we got to give, and he's out there working so that he can give more. Amen. And we want to give more, and this is what we're supposed to do. But at the same time, we got to also preach the word, teach the word, and make the sacrifices. We got to fast and pray. We got to do all these things, and it's all part of it. But people, while we're preaching and while we're telling people Jesus loves you, and I've witnessed this out there in the mission field, Jesus loves you. Yes, ma'am. I know that, but can you get me something to eat? Yes, ma'am. I'm thirsty. So we must feed the people. We got to give them drink. We got to help them get clothes and housing and the things that they need. You know, they need love, and that's how we show our love, by helping them to get their needs and helping them to know how to get their needs. know how to get it. Because first we feed them, but then we need to show people how to do it. Because some people just don't know how to make it, especially some young people. They just don't know how, and they're not trying to learn. But when they see that we are committed, when they see that we are committed through our love and through what we do for love, then that will inspire. That will inspire people, and that will allow them. That will make them feel like, you know, I want to do this. I want to help. Now we help them. One person help another person. One hand help the other. And it becomes like a chain of goodness, a chain of sacrificing. You know, we're all chained up together. We're no longer chained up in evil, but we're chained up in the spirit, chained up together, holding hands together by faith, amen, and doing the work of the Lord. That's being chained up in Jesus Christ. That's being hooked on Yahweh Messiah. We're hooked on Messiah. We're hooked on the things of God. And so we hook up with people divinely. We're divinely hooked up with other people who have the same mindset. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. And when we all come together with one mind, one love, one mind, hallelujah, Yahweh Messiah at the forefront, we are going to show people that God is real. God is who he says he is, because they will be able to see it. Amen? And that's why this subject is so important. You know, we can talk about prophesying and a great, great sermon, and that preacher can preach and all this stuff. But what about the people? What about the people who are suffering? What about those people? What about those people who need help? Those people who need the Lord, those people who don't have anything, may not have lights in their house, you know, all the things that people need. And it's getting so that it's getting hard to put food on the table for some people. And some people don't qualify for these food stamps and all of that. They don't qualify because they make over a certain amount of money, but that amount of money that they're earning is not enough. But they have this criteria that you have to meet the criteria. If you don't meet the criteria, they don't have no mercy. They don't have no mercy. They're not going to change the policy for anybody. So there are people, there are elderly people, there are children suffering, there are single parent households that's suffering, and even households that have the two parents there, a husband and a wife, and they're struggling. They're struggling to keep things going in the house, to pay the bills. So the church can help people and empower people through the Holy Spirit to know their gifts and to know what it is that God has for all of us. And that is us. That is for us all to live a life and life more abundantly. And that is through Jesus Christ, especially through salvation. And once we get that salvation and we get baptized, and the Lord begins to pour out on us, and then we begin to realize what our gifts are, then God will use us, because we say, God, I'm ready. Well, God knows when we're ready, but God, please use me. I'm willing. That's all you have to do, is be willing. Amen. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's remember the poor. Remember the widows. Remember the orphans. That's what God said. This is the sacrifice that he has chosen, is that we remember that there are people that, number one, don't know God. Many people don't know God, and many people right now is blaming God for all of this. Yes, God is in control, but it's not God's fault. It's because there are sin potholes all around the earth. There are potholes of sin all over. Hallelujah. And God has shown me some things like that. Glory be to God. These potholes, they're all over the earth. It's sin potholes. It's where people, where all these murders are happening. Like we were talking about the murders in New Orleans. It's every day. Every day. We're about 30, 35 minutes from New Orleans. This is where we grew up. But we would not live there anymore, because there's so much crime there. And the criminals are like, they're taking over. The police, it's like the police are not even present because they're just doing whatever they want to do, killing, robbing, burglarizing, robbing people, doing anything they want to do in New Orleans. And a lot of them are getting away, but they haven't gotten away from God. God saw it all, you know. And so we are praying for these communities, praying for our communities. This is what we're supposed to be doing. God want to raise up people that are willing to do the work. And if you just say so and mean it, God, help us to do the work. That's what's important. We can't just listen to the word every day, listen to the word, get full of the word, and you got to release it. Once you're getting full, every time we come, we get full. We get full of the word. We know a lot of the word, but are we doing the work? Are we really in the fullness of Christ? In the fullness of Christ, we're doing the work. We're doing the prayers. We're doing everything that's been commanded of us to do. Mainly, primarily, we're going to be obedient. And then you will experience the fullness of God. You're going to experience that fullness that he has just for you, just for me, because we all have our portion. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't need to try to be like anybody else, to try to do what everybody else is doing. We all have our portion. Stay in your lane. Stay where you're supposed to be. Allow God to use you the way he uses you and not try to be like anybody else, because we're all special to God. God has given us all his favor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we said the spirit of wisdom is the spirit. There's the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. How can we have all of these spirits? First of all, we got to fear the Lord. And we talk about that all the time. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And when we fear the Lord, and then we begin to live in the power, live knowing what the power is, then we'll experience the wisdom, understanding. Hallelujah. We'll get counsel. The spirit of his might is not by might nor by power, but by the spirit of God. We're going to know that God is the mighty one. God is the powerful one. And he is just using us, amen, as a vehicle. Glory be to God. But we got to stay tuned up in the Holy Spirit. We got to, you can even say, say gassed up in the spirit, tuned up in the spirit. Just like you do with a car, you got to tune it up. You got to keep it gassed up. If you don't keep it, it'll stop on you. You'll be stranded somewhere. So it's just like that with the spirit. You know, with the gifts, if we don't use our gifts, they'll lie dormant in us. They'll be dormant, and we'll never know. We'll never know the power. We'll never know the fullness until we allow God to use us. It's like if you let a car just sit there and sit there. Some people never drive a car, and then when you go to start it up, it won't start. It won't start. My aunt had a car like that. It was a good car, but it just would not start. It needed work because she hadn't started it up in a long time. So the car had to be tuned up. It had to have all the things you have to do for a car. Bishop will know that. That's his area. But everything in the car had to be checked. It had to be overall. It had to be called, what do you call that, James, when they do the car, when they do the apostle, know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So much detailing, but when a car won't start, and you got to have the tune up. That's what I'm trying to, I think I said tune up, yeah. But you got to have the tune up. You got to do the spark plugs. I think that's all part of the tune up.
Yeah.
When my aunt's car wouldn't start, it needed a tune up. It needed to be tuned up. So we have to stay tuned up in the spirit. That's the point I'm trying to get across. I think I did. Because if we don't stay tuned up, we get rusty. We get rusty.
Oh,
and the gifts lie dormant.
There was corrosion on the
battery. Right, there was corrosion with my son-in-law's car yesterday. Bishop is saying with my son-in-law's car yesterday, it had corrosion on the battery terminals, and it wouldn't start. The corrosion was there. Now he hadn't run his car all the weekend, and when we got when he got ready to start the car, it wouldn't start. And it was like 4 days he hadn't used the car. Now, I don't know if that's why I did that. but thinking that the corrosion had already started, and because he hadn't started it in 4 days, almost 5 days, that's probably why it wouldn't start at all. But when he cleaned the cables, when he cleaned that off, then it started. It started just fine, and it's fine today. He's already gone on the road.
We want to clean the terminal.
Coca-Cola is good for cleaning the terminal.
Take a hot Coke.
Amen.
It'll eat all that corrosion off.
It'll eat it off? Amen. Well, glory.
Yeah.
Okay, so just a people of God, I experienced this, and I watch, and I've experienced the fact that, well, I won't say I experienced it, but there are people that preach, teach, do these things, and there's no power. There's many churches, they don't have the power, and the power is not there. The power is not there because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're not walking in the ways of God like we should. And when I say we, please, it's collectively. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Some people get offended, and we're not talking about any particular person. Please know that, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking about anyone in particular or any people in particular. When we say we, you, we're speaking collectively, okay? I just want to clear that up, because we may have some new people on the line, and we're not calling no names and, you know, all that stuff. But we want to make it clear, according to the word of God, that God will not use people if their vessels are not clean. If we don't have that obedience and that sanctification, first we got to be set apart from this world. That's what sanctification means. It means to be set apart. We're set apart. And then after we're set apart, then we have a part in the kingdom. We're now a part of the kingdom. We're now a part of the kingdom because we've decided that we want to do business in the kingdom. We want to take care of business until God comes, either through rapture or until we expire and cross over. Amen. Hallelujah. Because some of us may be here for the rapture. We may be here for that rapture. And the way things are moving so fast, and when we see that the devastation is getting worse and worse with all these storms and everything that's going on in the earth, and the crime is worse, the corruption is worse, hallelujah, the corruption is worse in the government, the corruption has gotten worse in the church, the devil is doing business in the church, and he's doing business all around the world, you know, because like I said, there's sin everywhere. There's no place where there's no sin, only in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is whole and pure. There is no sin in that, in him. He is a person. Glory be to God. He's not an it. I hear people say, and I heard it say to me, no, he's not an it. He's a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't call God an it. My God, and something. He's not a thing. Hallelujah. He's the Almighty God. He's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So people say, it said something. No, it's not something, you know. And sometimes what they'll be telling me about this something, I'll say that wasn't something. That was God. That was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't something. That is Spirit, not a thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the power of God. We're talking about what the power of God will do with our gifts, will do in our lives, and we have to depend on his power for everything, not just some things. We live and move and have our being in our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And don't forget about the fruit of the Spirit. We want the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the tree. We talked about the tree that Jesus cursed. When he walked up, he was looking for something to eat. He was hungry. and he saw this tree, and it looked like it was a beautiful tree, and it just looked like it should have had some fruit on it, but it did not have no fruit on it. It just looked good, but it had to be rotten to the core. Hallelujah. It was rotten on the inside because it wasn't bearing any fruit. It wasn't getting the nourishment and getting what it needed to bear the fruit. So Jesus cursed that tree. And the disciples were astounded by it. The next time they passed by, a few days later or whatever, they saw that tree was totally dead. It was dead because Jesus Christ cursed it. And that's the same way people will be cursed if we don't use our gifts. If we don't use what we've been given to use, if there is no fruit, if we're not bearing fruit, then what's going to happen is when we do expire, when we do leave this place, we'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Amen? Just like he cursed that tree, we are cursed. It is a curse. My God, when we claim to know, I mean, there's so much revelation there. When we claim to know, we know the word, we read the word, we study the word, and everything we are saying is so beautiful. The way we look is beautiful, but on the inside, it's rotten. On the inside, we are not growing. Our soul is not alive. The soul is dead. If the soul is dead, there will be no fruit of the Spirit. You will not have fruit of the Spirit when the soul is dead. Glory be to God. So what we have to do is get ourselves together, make up our minds that we're going to walk right, talk right, do it right in the eyes of the Lord, and then we're going to bear that fruit. We're not going to be dead on the inside. How can you grow if it's dead? The tree wasn't going to grow anymore, do nothing, because it was dead. And that was symbolic of a soul that's dead, a soul that's walking around the earth, and we're looking good, we're dressing good, we're driving good, we're living good, all of that's going on. We might be preaching good, teaching good, doing all of that, but there's no power. There's no power. There's no growth in God. No growth whatsoever. Hallelujah. And that's why when we expire, when we leave this place, then when judgment comes, the judgment will be fire, the lake of fire, till we become alive through Christ Jesus. There's no other way we're going to bear fruit. We're going to be like the Pharisees that Jesus talked about in the Bible. Yes, he did. He called them whitewashed tombs. He told them that their father was the father of lies. Why? Because they were following the deception of the devil. They were deceived by the devil because they were believing they had it all together. They were believing that all I got to do is teach and preach. All I got to do is look good and attend the services, and I'm going to make it to heaven. No, 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 no. We got to do the work, and we got to have the right heart. We got to have our heart consecrated unto God. We want our hearts. We want the word to be in us, the word to be in our hearts. And when God says he would write his word on the tablet of your heart, when that word is on your heart, and you have decided, we have decided that we're going to follow Jesus Christ, take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ and follow him all the way until our last breath is taken. We're going to follow Jesus Christ, taking up our cross and being responsible. Otherwise, we're going to be like whitewashed tombs. We're going to be rotten to the core, looking good on the outside, but dead on the inside. Hallelujah. Dead. You don't bear fruit when you're dead. If you don't give the tree or the flowers the right nourishment, if they don't have the right water, if they're not planted in the right location, if they're not fed the proper food that they have to have, even plants need the proper environment. So if we are in the right environment and we're getting all that we need from the word for us to grow, then we are not going to be a whitewashed tomb. We're not going to be a part of the make the Father of Life our Father. Our Father would be Jehovah Yahweh God. That's who our Father is when we follow in the truth, the way and the life. We're following Jesus Christ, and this is how we get this fruit. This is how we get this power. This is how we stay afloat in the spirit, how we stay tuned up and ready to go. If you keep your vehicle, we're a vehicle for the Lord. We're one of his vehicles, hallelujah, a vessel, and we got to have this vessel in shape, hallelujah, ready to go when God says to go. So if you do have a car and you're not using it, you got to keep it tuned up. You got to keep it ready to go. What if we don't be prepared and all of a sudden we have to leave and the car won't start? Or, you know, then we'll have to go to another avenue or whatever. I'm just using the car, you know, here because it's a good one, because we are vehicles of the Spirit. Amen. We are vehicles of the Lord, a vessel that the Lord will use when that vessel is a pure vessel ready to be used. Whenever God says, I need you to do this, go here, do that, whatever, or need you to teach and preach, but also he needs us to live the word that we're teaching and preaching, practicing what we preach. When we practice in what we preach, we're gonna bear good fruit. Hallelujah. And other people will begin to bear fruit when they begin to listen and learn. I have to listen and learn. I learn every time I do a message, I learn something else. Every time I study the word, I learn something. Glory be to God. We're supposed to learn. Ask God to help us to learn. Help us, God. Give us a spirit of discernment as well. That's another thing. We should be praying for a spirit of discernment. God is looking for those who are willing, and he'll make us able. Hallelujah. He's looking for those that's willing to pray, those that's willing to sacrifice, those that's willing to go all the way and watch yourself grow and watch how others will grow. And then you're going to see miracles before your eyes. Then you're going to see people get healed. Then you're going to see people get saved. Hallelujah. Then you're going to see that the money will flow. Everything is going to flow that you need for the kingdom and for your own personal life. It works, but we got to do the work. God is watching. Hallelujah. And he's listening. We can say all of that, you know, oh, I'm anointed and I'm this and I'm that. Oh, but we got to make sure we're not just talking about, oh, I got this gift and I got that gift, but are we using those gifts? Hallelujah. Are we allowing God to use the gifts that he's already given to us by grace? Cannot earn the gifts. Hallelujah. We can't earn our salvation. That's the best gift you'll ever have, is the gift of salvation. Glory be to God. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Don't you want to see the word of God preached the way it ought to be preached, taught the way it ought to be taught? Hallelujah. And when we're doing that, we're rejoicing in the Spirit. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Every day we rejoice. Hallelujah. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. So when we're rejoicing in the Lord always, we're always doing what God says to do. We're living a life that's pleasing to God, rejoicing in God. That's rejoicing. And God is happy and pleased with that. When we're rejoicing in the Lord always, we're rejoicing. We have joy just doing what God called us to do. Joy when we got to go out and do things for the Lord. Joy when we see the faces of people who was hungry and now they got food. Hallelujah. The joy we receive when we do the will of the Father. There's no joy like it. My God, there's no joy like the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, because God is pleased. When you know you're doing the will of the Father, it pleases God. Hallelujah. And he will let you know it. He will let you know it, and your life will be blessed. And that's why we say we are all blessed when we know we're doing what is right by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bishop. Hallelujah. Amen. Bishop is okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We're going to go here. the promises. There's a promise from God from those who decide that we're going to do what God says and we are going to be those overcomers. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, he talks about those to him that overcomes. You see, we all of us, have things in life that we need to overcome, right? We have to overcome in life, no matter what. So when you have the power living in you, power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yahweh, then we can become, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. Whether that trouble is in our relationships, it could be family relations, it could be we're struggling with our weight, like me sometimes I struggle with my weight. I'm up and down. Some health issues, right? People having financial difficulties, people having sickness in their lives. We just got a call. Please pray for this young woman. Her name is Jade, and she's only in her early 20s, and she had an aneurysm. Our daughter called and said there was an aneurysm that hit her brain. That aneurysm is horrible. And now she doesn't know herself. She doesn't know her parents. She's talking like a little child. She's gone back to her little bitty toddler days. And she really can't walk. And so we're asking for prayer for her. We have prayed for her, but we're asking for prayer every day for Jade to come out of the state that she's in. And again, that's a sickness, and that family is hurting now. Her father is just still sick. He can't believe what has happened to his young daughter in her 20s. So that's a health issue. That's a family issue. Hallelujah. Then there's those financial difficulties. There's those problems we have at work. There's those mental attacks that some people are feeling depressed and all of this stuff and anxieties, all of these things that are in the mind. But regardless to what is to what these things that happens that will oppose us to try to cut us off from God, Jesus called us to be committed to becoming an overcomer. This is what he says, that we can be overcomers because he has overcome the world. He, our Savior, has fought for us and has given us victory over all. Anything that will come against us, we can have the victory over it because the battle is the Lord's, and all we have to do is keep fighting the good fight of faith. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The tree of life. When you have the tree of life, that tree of life is flourishing. We're talking about that's a whole nother sermon right there about the tree of life. But today we're looking at the power that comes from that will exude through us, that will flow through us through the Holy Spirit when we know we're overcomers and we're not going to let anything trap us, anything evil trap us. We're not going to open up the door for the enemy. We're going to say to the enemy, go about your business. I'm in the army of the Lord, and that's where I'm going to stay. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back to you. I am in the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit working in me. I got the power of the Holy Spirit, and the blood of Jesus is on my life. Hallelujah. So we are called to be overcomers, and we can become an overcomer through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Greek word for overcomer is nikeo, which says we are an overcomer. We are victorious. We are a champion. Hallelujah. We are one that possess a type of superiority.
Hallelujah. Because we follow in the ways of God. And everything that, every way of God is superior. Because our God is one that is perfect. So this word we are talking about today is the power that comes when we know, I have to bring this one in here, that overcomer. Hallelujah. If we can't overcome, if we don't know how to get to where we need to be, to call on the Lord to help us to be where we need to be in the spirit. Call on the Lord. Lord, help me. Help my faith. If you feel like I don't have enough faith, or you questioning this faith thing, ask God, help me in my faith, God, because I don't really understand all this. It's okay. God said, and all you get and get understanding. So we call on the Lord for understanding, and we go where we know we can be taught. We go where we know we can get some understanding. Amen. And God will give you those divine connections. But the most, the very best person to go to is Jesus Christ. And go to that word for yourself. Hallelujah. So that word, again, I say, is nikeo. It's the Greek word for overcoming. It's the Greek word for that, and it means we can overcome through the power of the Spirit of God. It's a superior way to live. It's a superior view that we're supposed to have about life and about how to do life, because we got to do life. Life is going to happen to all of us. You know, whether we're saved or unsaved, these things I just mentioned is going to come our way. The trouble is still going to come. My God. The chaos is still going to be there. Glory be to God. Living life, it can be very difficult. And, you know, we got to have the right mindset to live good. And the right mindset comes from knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when the Spirit talks to us about being like a champion in a competition, this word is alluding to that. It refers to, say, for instance, the military. And the military, our military goes out to fight the enemy, or there to protect, to serve. They're there to protect and to serve. And when trouble comes, they're ready. They're ready to go. They're ready to fight in the military. When they're here, I think there's some horns that go off, that goes off when the United States is being attacked, when there's an attack somewhere. They know, get your gear. The gear is ready. The gear is right there, and they're ready to go, and they're dressed already. They don't have to, they're not lying around in the bed in their underwear, you know, lollygagging around with the other servicemen. No, they're all dressed. They're in their gear. They're about their work for the day, and that's how we're supposed to be about it. We're supposed to be about our work. So when that time comes, when something is going on and there's a battle, whether it be externally or internally, we got to be ready. How do we be ready in the spirit? We're prayed up. We're girded up. Glory be to God. We got our gear on. Amen. Ready to fight the good fight of faith. When we are attacked externally or internally, we are ready. Just like in the military, just like the police officers, when they go to work, when they get in their car, they got their gun, they got everything. I mean, the military, you got to have everything just right, literally perfect. And if you're not, you're gonna pay for that one. If you go out there halfway, you're going to have to pay for that one. And so we can't be halfway. We got to be all the way for the saint who is ready for battle. You got to be ready for a battle. You got to have your armor on. Ephesians 6 tells us about the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girding our waist with the truth. Hallelujah. Shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and the shield, our shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart. We got to know our armor. We got to know what we're working with. We're working with wonder-working power through the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, tragically, many people don't know. They don't even know how to tap in. My God. And we tap in by spending time. We tap in through intercessory prayer. We tap in by doing the work that our gifts will allow us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how you tap in. That's how we go to other dimensions in God. Amen. He brings us to new dimensions in the Spirit. He rewards us. So much is given, much is required. But God gives much, but he expects us to do what we need to do with what he gives. Amen, because it all belongs to him. Glory be to God. So a military victory comes when everything is in place. The battle is well fought. Hallelujah. So also that word Nikeo is translated into the word control. It means to conquer. It means to defeat, to master, to overcome, to overwhelm, to surpass, to be victorious. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? You see, it is very important to understand that the word Nikeo can describe either threes athletically. So this means, in terms of the word, this means Jesus Christ Yahweh is conveying, is trying to get across these messages, conveying these messages to us. First, he's telling us that the only way to defeat the enemy that we are going to face was for us to maintain an attitude of a good athlete, an attitude of a good serviceman. That attitude, a good athlete is going to train. He has to train. It's part of the job. He has to train. He has to know all the plays. He's got to know all these things. He's got to know the full spectrum of what that is that he's doing, what to know what is required of him and meet the criteria, meet the requirements. And that's what we have to do, meet the criteria, meet the requirements to grow spiritually. Hallelujah. This is what Yahweh is trying to convey to us today. The only way to defeat your enemies is to be prepared. Hallelujah. To be geared up, prayed up, girded up. Hallelujah. In order for us to win the battle, we got to eliminate all spiritual apathy. We talked about spiritual apathy a few weeks ago. We talked about complacency a few weeks ago. We cannot be complacent. We cannot have any spiritual apathy. Hallelujah. We got to be prepared for the toughest battles that we may ever have to face in life. Just like the athletes have to be prepared for the toughest competition that they're going to have to face. When they go to the playoffs, that's the toughest competition. I like to watch basketball. That's my favorite sport. I used to play it in school. And when you get to the playoffs, that's the most exciting time of the year. Those guys have worked all year to get there. They've done their work. They've done everything they needed to do, and now the best is playing against each, my God. And so the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we have to be ready to fight that battle. We have to be more than a conqueror. Glory be to God. Jesus said we can be that if we just be holy as he is holy. Hallelujah. Got to be holy. Glory be to God. Got to be living like Jesus Christ wants us to live. What he desires for us, he wants to give us. Glory be to God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. So we must do what we have to do. And I said, if we need work in our faith, he'll help you with that. He'll give you some help, all the help you need. Glory be to God, all the help we need. So we got to make that full commitment. Nothing less than a full commitment is going to be sufficient to master those interior and exterior adversaries. They are struggles that we are all going to have to face, whether, you know, whether we like it or not. It is going to happen with everybody. One day it's going to show up. Amen. It's going to show up. And if we're not ready, my God, going to be good. Stay ready. So Jesus, in this context, when we look at it through the Greek, is saying that we can be the best, be a runner. He's talking about a wrestler. He's talking about football players, which, you know, it's alluding to these things, the athletes and the military. And this is what we have to do, train, train, train. We're never going to be graduated to the point where we need no more training. It doesn't matter how anointed we are. There's always room for improvement. Whether we are A-plus students, whether we're doing the job already, there's always room for improvement. Thank you, Bishop. So his message here is very clear in this subject matter that we're talking about today. Only someone who is thoroughly committed, a thoroughly committed believer will win the crown one day. There is a crown that awaits us. There's a crown that we will be given. It awaits us in paradise. Hallelujah. In the paradise, in the place that Jesus is preparing for us when we leave this place. When the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. Make no mistake about it. Everything in the word is true. Glory be to God. So because the word, excuse me. Because the word Nikeo is also used militarily, and what it's showing us is that it, when we have this mindset, when we got our armor on, when we got everything, we geared up, worded up, prayed up, fasted up, and all of that, there's absolutely a crushing awaiting the enemy. He is going to be crushed in that thing that he's trying to do. That assignment that he has for anybody's life is going to be now null and void. It's going to be extinguished by the power of God. Jesus' word, is this word, Nikeo, is saying this too. He is calling us, oh Jesus. He's saying to us, rise up like the military on attack, hallelujah, and defeat. External and the internal enemies are going to be defeated, those that are threatening us, because it's only a threat. It's a threat. Believe me, it's not a done deal. It's only a threat. But when we see those threats and hear those threats, we have to act. We can't just be sitting around lollygagging around while the enemy is having a field day in our lives. Hallelujah. So we can't have, back to our message a few weeks ago, back to what we said a few weeks ago, spiritual complacency and the lack of compassion and passion is intolerable in the kingdom of God. It's not going to be tolerated by God. Hallelujah. And it is an enemy to our faith. And those things, if we are being complacent, there's any spiritual apathy, and we're being complacent, which when we're complacent, it'll make us compromise. That cannot be tolerated. My God, we got to rise up and move on and do what we got to do. Rise up in our faith. Hallelujah. It's got to be conquered. And Jesus has already done the work. And all we have to do is rely on the power that lives within us. We can live in the power of Yahweh. That's what the topic is. Hallelujah. The enemy want to wage war against the saints. The enemy is going to wage war, and he can win against a weak saint. If the saint is weak, he will win. Believe me, he is not going to stop fighting. But if we are strong in the spirit, if we are strong in the Lord, my God, he is not going to have a victory over us. Glory be to God. Christ has brought us a long way. Once we're saved, salvation is there, my God, and we know who we are and whose we are. We know we live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ, our way. Then we're going to know the way. We're going to know the way to go. We're going to know what to say. We're going to know it, my God, because it's in us, and we're gonna rise up above it all. Amen. The enemy want to wage fate with a saint of God who's a real soldier, staying ready for any attack that comes, staying on the wall, being an intercessor, not just for you and your family, but for everybody else, my God, praying for your dignitaries and your leaders, praying for the one who is a seer. Hallelujah, the one who is our overseer, praying for that man or that woman of God, not being selfish, pouring out your love on the poor, pouring out those sacrifices, my God. And you know what? You're going to stay ready. You're going to stay ready. And when the enemy try to wage war, a strong saint of God, he got some trouble on his hands. My God, he got some trouble. Glory be to God. Even when he messed with Job, he still lost the battle. He lost the battle. Mm-hmm. Because Job lost all the old stuff he had. And God, Yahweh, restored Job. Y'all know the story about Job. If you don't read it, it's a wonderful, read the whole book of Job. Hallelujah. Read it. And God restored Job, gave him more children, gave him way more than he had before. My God, God is in that business. I was just telling somebody the other day, don't you worry about the old stuff. Don't you worry about the old hurt, the old pain. My God, because God will take your pain and use it, and you will have gain as a result of your pain. Hallelujah. You're going to gain more because of the pain that you went through. Everything old that you lost, God is going to give you the new. He said in his word, behold, I do a new thing. My God, I'll do a new thing in your life. I'll write the script for you. Don't you worry about anything. I got you. Amen. I got you. So when it's old stuff, you done lost this. The lady was telling me all she lost and what the children did and all that. And we prayed, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you that burden. Or you could just, she just start feeling so much better. And we got to be available. That's another thing. Hallelujah. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what time of the night, it doesn't matter what time of the day, when you need a prayer, when you need to talk, whatever it is, I'm a shoulder for you to lean on, because see, I lean on Jesus Christ. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we're leaning on his arms, other people can come lean. And when they lean on us, they feel the Savior. Hallelujah. Because we're his vessel. We're his vessel. And they'll learn. And they'll learn. I can go lean on Jesus. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. The battle is already won. Glory be to God. But we got to know the power that we're working with. Do you know about the power that you're working with? Yeah. Hallelujah. God's going to work with us as we work with him. Glory be to God. So Christ is bringing to our attention that we must be willing. And we are also required to work at the highest level of determination that you've ever known. Because apathy, complacency, and compromise are some of the most difficult enemies for a person or a church to conquer. Can't do it without Jesus Christ. Complacency will get you in trouble. Like I said, stay dressed up. Be ready like those soldiers are. We're supposed to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. You know, we say that. That sounds real good. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. My God, we're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And the enemy is wreaking havoc. He's wreaking havoc. in the community, wreaking havoc in the church, wreaking havoc in the home. Oh, but we're more than a conqueror. What are you conquering? The enemy is having his way in many different ways because some of us don't know the power of God, don't know what you're working with, what's there for us to use. But if your gifts are laying dormant, they're laying dormant. They're not activated. They're only going to be activated when we decide we're going to use them. When we decide we're going to say to God and really mean it, God, use me. I need to be used by you, Lord. I want to experience this power. I want to experience it. I'm tired of being bombarded. I'm tired of falling down. I'm tired of this life that I'm living. Tired. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know the power, Lord. I want to know it, God. I need to know it, God, so I can go where I can't go on my own, where I can do what I can't do on my own. Because I've been on my own, and it's been a disaster. For some people, it's been a disaster. Even people who say I'm a Christian, even people who say I'm born again, and it's been a disaster. Why? Because we're not following in the ways of the Lord. What's that?
People depend on things.
Amen.
They depend on, well, yeah, God, I want you to help me with this, that, and other, but you have to believe. You can't, you have to have faith. It's going to help.
Amen. Gotta have faith.
Job did not give up.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give up. Hallelujah.
He lost his children. It's just him and his wife. He lost his children. He gave him more daughters than sons.
I don't think he gave him any more sons. I think he had all daughters.
He sure not had. I thought he gave him more children. I know he had daughters.
He had more. He gave him more children. Beautiful daughters. That's what I remember. So Christ is commanding believers today. It's a command for all of us to be overcomers. He's actually asking us. He asked each of us to be permanently, determined, and not to let the devil turn us around by overcoming. Mm-hmm. Obtaining victory.
Yes,
victory. Victory is mine. Deacon Frazier sings it. Victory is mine. Victory in every area of your life, my life. Christ commands believers, commanding us still throughout all the world, throughout all of us. We can't be an overcomer without Jesus Christ. Believe that. Many people say they can, but no. Spiritually, definitely not. Me, feel like we're real strong, real strong. We got it going on. And, you know, being very good at your career, doing an excellent job in your career, doing an excellent job in your studies, doing an excellent job as a parent, a wife, a husband. And we can feel like I'm doing an excellent job in leadership. We feel like that. But let me say this. Without Jesus, it's not excellent. Without Jesus Christ, it's not. Because it's not pleasing the Lord. It's good that we're doing what we're doing, good things. But we can do a whole lot of good things and still miss heaven. Hear me. Because God has commanded us to do all that we're supposed to do spiritually. Given an outline, but we're going to go back again. What we need to do, there's a criteria. Just like there's a criteria to meet in terms of our career, in terms of our studies. There's even a criteria to meet if you want to be a good wife or a good husband, a good mother, a good father. There's a criteria. you know, and we need to know what those criteria are. We need to know if you're going to look for a new job and you got a resume and you know, okay, I have the skills, I have the skill set, I have the knowledge, I have the experience, but do you know about the company? Do you know about the company that you're applying? You have to meet their criteria. Amen. Even though you have all this experience, you got to know about that company and what the job is going to expect of you. What's expected? What's going to be my job description? What's going to be? I'm applying for a job, and it might be several things that's available, but do you meet the criteria? Number one. You got to meet the criteria. What are they looking for? Do you meet? Are you a school teacher? Are you a mechanic or whatever? But every company has certain policies, and it will behoove all of us to learn about that company. Learn all about the company from the time of its inception. Learn about what they're doing, what they were doing then, and what they're doing now. And be ready to talk about how I can bring more value to this company. We got to know that. And it's the same way with the word. We got to know the word in order for the word to be used for the glory of God. We got to know it. We got to know it, and we got to show it in the way we live. Amen? Knowing it, showing it, doing it. When you're showing it, you're doing it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's the part we wanted to cover today. We had a little trouble earlier, so we started a little late. So we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and being in and knowing about the fullness of God, hallelujah, and how we must know in order to have the fullness of God, we have to be full of the love, compassion, wanting to give. Can give is one thing, but wanting to do it is another. I want to give. I want to give my all in all. I want God to use me, so I got to do it right. So Christ commands us, and it's for all generations, even generations to come, to be overcomers. You got to continue and be unrelenting. Unrelenting to maintain our spiritual standing in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. As long as we live in this, we are going to be able to use our gifts and bear more fruit. Because why? We're eating the word of God. We're feeding on the word of God. We're feeding off our experiences. Glory be to God. And the more we do, the more we get. To them that's got, they shall get. Amen. The more we give, the more we get. That's how it works. So have you made that commitment to be permanently, consistently, unrelenting, undeterred in having every victory in your life? Because it is possible salvation if you don't have it. Make that commitment today, please. And you won't regret it. You won't regret it. I know by experience you won't regret it. I've seen the miracles. Glory be to God. I take no credit for it. I've seen the miracles. I've seen where you lay hands. God will use your hands. Hallelujah. Laying hands on the sick and they recover. Praying for people over the phone, on Blog Talk, on the prayer lines, and people getting healed, people getting delivered from all kinds of diseases, sicknesses, infirmities. Hallelujah. People get delivered from depressions, mental illnesses. We've seen all of this. I've seen it with my own eyes and done some of those things. Glory be to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And a lot of it, we hear it on this Church Station, Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. It's called the Power Resurrection Church of God. Hallelujah. There's power in Jesus Christ. There's power in what we do in the Spirit because it's of the Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit, and we can live through it. Hallelujah. We can live through the power of Yahweh. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to close now. We're going to close now. Apostle is at work.
Unknown caller.
So we're going to pray that the Spirit of the Lord speaking. Hallelujah. Thanking the Spirit of the Lord for speaking to us today. And Lord, help us to jump in into the race. Doesn't matter where we start. It's about starting. And then once we get started, Lord God, that we stay in it. Stay in it to win. Until we reach that finish line. Until we can say, hallelujah, I fought the good fight. Hallelujah. Calling today. The Spirit of God is saying today, fight the good fight of faith. And you will be able to maintain victory in your life. Because Jesus already won the fight. And Lord, I pray that people recognize today that we must be permanently and consistently unrelenting in the area of overcoming and finding victory in every aspect of our lives. Father, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice and Bishop's voice today will make a commitment, make a vow to go far greater than they've ever gone or you've ever gone in your life before, or ever even demonstrated in your life before. We can say it that way for a better word. Holy Spirit, we ask today to help people to go, call on you, going in the name of Jesus Christ, moving, rising up and moving in the name of Jesus so that they could be strengthened. And to learn and know that without you, Lord, we will not have a victorious life. But with you, Lord, we can be victorious in every aspect of our lives. Father, help the people in the sound of our voices to realize that those that don't know, we realize there are many that do know, but there are many who do know and they're not doing what they know. Father, help us to do what we know to do. Hallelujah. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we know today that we're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The battle has already been won. All we have to do is just dive in. Hallelujah. Make that start. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Make that start today. Begin by receiving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for those that haven't been done, but you've already received, make a commitment today to delve into whatever it is that God, that you know God has called you to do. And if you don't know, ask him. And he will show you. Yahweh will show you, and he'll show you the way. He'll show you how. He'll show you when. He'll tell you when. Hallelujah. And he'll guide and direct your path. Lord, we're thanking you for that in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Messiah.
And we say amen to that. So if you want to make a confession, make your confession today. Bishop is going to ask you to confess the Lord, and Lord is your Savior. Yahweh, hold on. Let me get him over to the phone. He's on the other side. Praise the Lord. We're closing up today, and we'll be back next time. And we're not finished yet. Still got some more to go. Amen. So we know Apostle is out there working, so we're going to go ahead and
your show is called. Greetings to everyone, brothers and sisters on the line, new believers, and I take it that everyone is excellent. We'll turn and come back home on this day. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. You know better. You know if you cross over, the game's over for you. No, it's just beginning. No, it's just beginning. Serious, serious pain for all eternity. Suffering constantly. Now, you don't want that. You don't want that. Well, I don't want it for you. I don't want it for me or none of my family or none of my friends. And especially you new believers on the line. You have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I strongly urge you to do so today. Look around, people. Look around. With all the things going on, there's pockets of sin all over the world. And this is what's causing all these things to happen. People shooting people just at random. We had two incidents. One incident in one day where a woman was shot and the bullet went across the interstate. After it hit her on the interstate, it went across to the other side and hit a driver on the other side. A gentleman going the opposite direction. And she could have been killed, the driver could have been killed, but fortunately they weren't. However, there was an elderly man, I think he was 73 years old, driving his car on one of the interstate systems. Somebody just took a shot at him. He's shooting a gun. It's like if they're using people for target practice. I'll say it. This world's come to nothing. The people in it, the world's going to be like it is. And it's due to sin that it's the way things are happening now. So many tragic things happening in the weather. There's never been a storm that I've been following storms that were so bad as this last one that they had that hit Florida twice. It's the same state twice. The second one that hit Florida twice. But the other one wasn't as devastating as this one was. And now it's going up to the Carolinas and Georgia. It seems like it's proceeding up the East Coast. And I don't know. I didn't follow it today. I didn't even look at the Weather Channel to find out when the storm was. So I'm so bewildered. But it's finally starting to disintegrate. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Oh, yeah, it's going to have flooding and rainstorms the way things are doing. But I don't know how old anyone is on this line. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do it. I'm urging you, please, please do it. Do it today. Don't hesitate. The Word of God says in the book of Romans, at chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and verse 8 says, but what does it say? It says that your salvation is near you, is in your mouth. You must confess this out loud. You must speak it into the atmosphere. I say out loud. You can talk softer than I'm talking right now. And this is my normal voice, but there's some people who have a real light voice. But speak it out. And the enemy cannot read your mind. he can only inject thoughts in your mind. He can't read your mind. So if you say, well, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and you're just thinking it, that's not going to deter him at all. You know, it's not. He's going to still try to fight to get your soul. But if you give your life to Christ Jesus, you have all the help you need. Just ask him to help you. Ask Jesus, please accept you and save your soul. If you do so, or if you backslid and you come back home, okay, do it now, please. You know, because you never know when your soul is going to be required. Mm-hmm. Now, our daughter in Texas called on yesterday, but we didn't respond to her text. When she called, because the prayer line was on, we didn't respond to that text, and she quite understood why we didn't. And I told her, you know, on yesterday that we didn't respond because we were on the church line. But she was calling for prayer. One of her coworkers, his daughter, only 24 years old, had an aneurysm. And I don't know if anybody knows what that aneurysm can do besides kill you. It can make you crazy. It can make you lose your mind. Here you have a child, only 24 years old, only 24, and her life could be gone. But through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, she shall live to declare the works of the Lord. I don't know if she's saved or not, but I pray that she is. And if her parents or parent, I'll personally intercede for her. Her name is Jade Norman. You told him her name? Yeah, Jade, yeah. And I'm going to intercede for her at this time, the Lord in heaven. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you said anything we ask upon in your name, he would grant us. So I'm interceding for her that she becomes well once again and that she makes it through this terrible thing and be a living witness for you, Father God. Totally dedicate her life to you. But at this moment, I don't know if she's able to do that. Pray that she does. I pray that our parents are saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you have decided that you're going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I pray that you do it. Do it now. Just think, this child is only 24 years old. And this is a chance that, you know, if she comes back into her mind totally just for a short while, and she accepts Jesus as a Savior, if she's not saved, you know, we know that if she crosses over, you know, she's in the right place now. Now, in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, believe in your heart and say it out loud, and believe in your heart. Jesus died for your sins and iniquities. He died for all of our sins and iniquities. Okay. He obeyed the Father and suffered and died for our sins and iniquities. He was not sinned. Sin was put up on him to be an atonement for us, because we weren't worthy. No one was worthy but the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let Jesus' suffering be in vain. Don't take the chance of losing your soul eternally. I urge you, please accept him as your Savior today and say it, like I said, speak it out loud. Your next step is to have an outward sign, which is baptism. Now, If you belong to a church and the church does not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, send them to the book of Romans, okay, in chapter 4, verse 12. But the word of God says, in that chapter and verse, chapter 4, verse 12 of Romans, okay, that there's no other name mentioned under heaven that all mankind must be saved, none other. Just Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the only way, despite what people say, there's many ways to get to heaven. No. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the living God. Hallelujah. So I urge you, accept Jesus as your Savior today. Speak it. Speak it out so the enemy will know that you're not in his camp anymore. And your slate will be clean if you've accepted him. Get baptized as soon as possible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your church doesn't baptize in that way, find a church that will baptize you. Find someone that will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you to leave the church. I'm just telling you what it says in the Word of God, which is all truth. The Holy Bible is all truth. Now read it for yourself. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, get yourself a good Bible. Several Bibles out. Get yourself a Bible. Read the truth. Read the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 12. And you'll see it for yourself. It's in the Word of God. Nowhere else in the Bible does it say that there's so many ways to be baptized. Only Jesus Christ, the way. He is the way maker. Now, I want to congratulate each and every one of you. And please, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to accept comments now. And if you have done, don't be shy. You know, you're just letting the enemy know that he's over with it. He's gone. He can't harm you now. Don't give in to it. And speak it out loud and say, yes, I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, nobody's going to embarrass you. All we're going to do is be happy for you. We're going to congratulate you. Nothing else. We're going to congratulate you. And invite people to your baptism, by the way. Everyone you can think of and people you don't even know, invite them to your baptism. Hallelujah. Friends, family members, co-workers, enemies, you know, people you haven't seen in years, call them up. Tell them, I'm going to be baptized. Come to my baptism, whatever that might be. And by doing so, you will have drawn another soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be to your account. You will just have some more jewels in your crown when you get to heaven. God bless each and every one of you. And that will conclude our teaching for today. And pardon me, I'm sorry. Apostle, what did they just say there? Oh, yeah. Thanks, everyone, for coming to the line today. And we've been looking forward to hearing from you today, tomorrow. And I'm going to turn it back over to Apostle Linda. She's on another line right now, but she's going to be finished in a minute. Okay. So the line is open. The line is open for comments for anyone who cares to make a comment. Jesus' name.
No.
Go ahead. Anyone want to make a comment? Mother Grant? If you're on the line and you want to read your scriptures, go right ahead, ma'am. Mother Grant, if you're there. Oh, she might be out on the field, yeah. Deacon Frazier, all the regulars on the line, but new believers, we're looking forward to hearing from you. and anybody else who wants to make a comment. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle Linda, if no one else is going to make a comment and they have a chance to do so, give them a minute or two. And okay, I'm going to have to close the line. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Calendar, we're done, sir. I'm going to close the line out now. It's all right with you, sir. I will.
Thank you for that anointed word. We pray God's strength over you and get some rest. And we'll be back here tomorrow if the Lord say the same. But the word is on, it's recorded, and that's all that matters right now.
All
you
know, right.
We got a word going forth for those that would listen and those who want to hear from heaven. We'll hear a word. An uncompromising, infallible truth. Infallible truth of God's word. You know, that's all that matters. And you just did it.
Yes.
So, we are excited now. I thank you so much for your time.
All right. God's time.
Pray God's strength over you. Well, it's his time and it's your time that he allow you to use.
Amen.
So we have to thank you for using it for his glory.
Yeah.
You know, using it for his glory. So we will talk to you later. And bless the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, have a blessed evening. Okay? All right.
You too, Papa.
Thank you. Thank you. So you can pray and close out.
So may the strength of God sustain you. May the power of God preserve you. May the hands of God protect you. And may the direct of God direct us and follow us all day and every day forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
God bless everyone.